Hello and welcome to episode 836 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We are recording on Monday, March 18th, 2024, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with the great saint and doctor of the church, Alphonsus Liguori's Monday prayer to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain holy perseverance. O Queen of Heaven, I, who was once a miserable slave of Lucifer, now dedicate myself to thee, to be thy servant forever. I offer myself to honor thee and serve thee during my whole life. Do thou accept me and refuse me not as I should deserve. O my Mother, in thee have I placed all my hopes. From thee do I expect every grace. I bless and thank God, who in his mercy has given me this confidence in thee, which I consider a pledge of my salvation. Alas, miserable wretch that I am, I have hitherto fallen, because I have not had recourse to thee. I now hope that through the merits of Jesus Christ and thy prayers, I have obtained pardon. But I may again lose divine grace. The danger is not past. My enemies do not sleep. How many new temptations have I still to conquer? Ah, my most sweet lady, protect me and permit me not again to become their slave. Help me at all times. I know that thou wilt help me and that with thy help I shall conquer if I recommend myself to thee. But this is what I fear. I fear that in time of danger I may neglect to call upon thee and thus be lost. I ask thee then for this grace. Obtain that in the assaults of hell I may always have recourse to thee, saying, Mary, help me, my mother, permit me not to lose my God. Prayer for the conversion of the Jews. God of goodness and Father of mercies, we beseech thee through the Immaculate Heart of Mary and by the intercession of the patriarchs and holy apostles, to look with compassion upon the remnant of Israel, so that they may come to know a knowledge of our only Savior, Jesus Christ, and share in the precious graces of redemption. Amen. Today, friends, we return once more to Meditations for Lent by St. Thomas Aquinas, another great saint and doctor of the church. This edition, initially published in 1937 by Sheed and Ward, it's available for free online. It's in the public domain at fisheaters.com, an excellent traditional Catholic website. I highly recommend you check out Fish Eaters. This is the meditation for Passion Monday, and the title is The Passion of Christ is a Remedy Against Sin. We find in the Passion of Christ a remedy against all the evils that we incur through sin. Now, these evils are five in number. One, we ourselves become unclean. When a man commits any sin, he soils his soul. For just as virtue is the beauty of the soul, so sin is a stain upon it. How happeneth it, O Israel, that thou art in thy enemy's land? Thou art grown old in a strange country. Thou art defiled with the dead. Baruch 3, verses 10 and 11. The Passion of Christ takes away this stain. For Christ, by his passion, made of his blood a bath wherein he might wash sinners. The soul is washed from the blood of Christ in baptism, for it is from the blood of Christ that the sacrament draws its power of giving new life. When, therefore, one who is baptized soils himself again by sin, he insults Christ and sins more deeply than before. So obviously, friends, when we're dirty, right, we want to get clean. We want to wash ourselves. So we take a shower, we take a bath, we get the soap going, we get the shampoo going, and we cleanse ourselves. How much more should we want to cleanse ourselves by going to the sacrament of confession, the sacrament of penance, where God forgives us of our sins? Because it's much more important, obviously, to be clean spiritually than to be clean bodily. Bodily cleanliness, of course, is important, but infinitely more important to have a clean soul. I believe it was C.S. Lewis who talks about purgatory, even though he wasn't Catholic, he didn't convert to Catholicism. Many people thought he would, but a lot of folks think probably is Northern Irish Protestant biases might have kept him from doing so. But he talks about the logic of purgatory, and that if you were going to meet royalty, if you were going to meet a king, you wouldn't meet him being filthy and wearing dirty clothes and being unkempt. You'd want to wash yourself first. And that's the logic of purgatory, that if we die with venial sins on our soul, not mortal sins, of course, because mortal sins, the soul is reprobated, the soul is eternally damned, but we die with venial sins on our soul, an attachment to sin, we have to have a place of cleansing first before we meet the thrice holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, because nothing unclean can enter heaven. So that's where the logic of purgatory comes in. Number two here, St. Thomas Aquinas says, we offend God. As the man who is fleshly minded loves what is beautiful to the flesh, so God loves spiritual beauty, the beauty of the soul. When the soul's beauty is defiled by sin, God is offended and holds the offender in hatred. But the passion of Christ takes away this hatred, for it does what man himself could not possibly do. Namely, it makes full satisfaction to God for the sin. The love and obedience of Christ was greater than the sin and rebellion of Adam. I think sometimes about a woman who might be physically beautiful, but if she's vulgar, if she's unchaste, if she's immodest, she's not attractive. There's a difference in the physical realm between being beautiful, being good-looking, and being attractive. It's unattractive to be sinful. Our souls are displeasing to the Lord. It is gravely offensive to him to be sinful. Now, does this mean we say, woe is me, and I can never turn it around, and I'm just too wicked? No, of course not. And in a way, that sort of attitude in itself is kind of a form of vanity and a sort of pride. You know, my sins are too big for God's grace or something like that. No, there's no sin that God won't forgive. But we have to come to him with a humble and contrite heart. We have to come with him with a genuine desire to be forgiven and to be sorrowful for our sins and making a firm purpose of amendment to attempt to do better. And we can only do that by the Lord's grace. Once again, thank God for the sacrament of penance. Number three, we ourselves are weakened. Man believes that once he has committed the sin, he will be able to keep from sin for the future. Experience shows that what really happens is quite otherwise. The effect of the first sin is to weaken the sinner and make him still more inclined to sin. Sin dominates man more and more, and man, left to himself, whatever his powers, places himself in such a state that he cannot rise from it. Like a man who has thrown himself into a well, there he must lie, unless he is drawn up by some divine power. After the sin of Adam, then, our human nature was weaker. It had lost its perfection, and men were more prone to sinning. But Christ, although he did not utterly make an end of this weakness, nevertheless greatly lessened it. Man is so strengthened by the passion of Christ, and the effect of Adam's sin is so weakened, that he is no longer dominated by it. Helped by the grace of God, given him in the sacraments, which derive their power from the passion of Christ, man is now able to make an effort and so rise up from his sins. Before the passion of Christ, there were few who lived without mortal sin, but since the passion, many have lived and do live without it. It's so important, friends, to develop virtuous habits and not vicious ones. And the younger we're able to start, the better. It's where the importance of good example from holy parents, holy priests, holy friends and family members. If we're surrounded by holy people, then we will want to be holy too. But if we develop those vices early in life, venial sins, if unrepented of, and if they're done repeatedly, inevitably will lead to mortal sins. And we shouldn't want to live a lifestyle, certainly, where we say, oh, I can just kind of live whatever way I want to, and then at the end of my life, you know, or when I'm older, when I'm 50, when I'm 60, when I'm 70, then I'll, you know, get serious about the spiritual life. No, that's mocking God's forgiveness. That's mocking his grace. That's putting our conversion on our timetable and not his. He wants you to be holy right now. He wants you to turn your life around right now. He's offering you his grace. Are you willing to accept it? And part of that, a huge part of that, is to cease offending him, to cease committing the sins we are committing. We want to live virtuous lives. That way we can start heaven right now. Because when we live a vicious life, when we're involved in gravely sinful behavior, we're starting our hell right now. Hell exists and souls go there. We want nothing to do with that. We don't want to offend our Lord in the slightest thing. Remember, all of our thoughts, all of our words, all of our actions, they're either setting us on a path to heaven or a path to hell. Life is very serious. It's not a game. Number four, liability to the punishment earned by sin. This the justice of God demanded, namely, that for each sin the sinner should be punished, the penalty to be measured according to the sin. Whence, since mortal sin is infinitely wicked, seeing that it is a sin against what is infinitely good, that is to say, God, whose commands the sin despises, the punishment due to mortal sin is infinite too. But by his passion, Christ took away from us this penalty, for he endured it himself, who his own self bore our sins. That is the punishment due to us for our sins, in his body upon the tree, 1 Peter 2:24. So great was the power and value of the passion of Christ that it was sufficient to expiate all the sins of all the world, reckoned by millions though they be. This is the reason why baptism frees the baptized from all their sins, and why the priest can forgive sin. This is why the man who more and more fashions his life in conformity with the passion of Christ and makes himself like to Christ in his passion attains an ever fuller pardon and ever greater graces. Our Lord wants us to be like him. Jesus wants us to become like him. He came. He set the example. He walked the walk and he talked the talk. He's the most manly man who ever lived. He's the most masculine man there could ever be. He's our captain. He is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Like St. Paul says, he is our role model par excellence. We need to live our lives as he did. And number five, banishment from the kingdom. Subjects who offend the king are sent into exile. So too, man was expelled from paradise. Adam, having sinned, was straightway thrown out and the gates barred against him. But by his passion, Christ opened those gates and called back the exiles from banishment. As the side of Christ opened to the soldier's lance, the gates of heaven opened to man. And as Christ's blood flowed, the stain was washed out. God was appeased, our weakness taken away, amends made for our sins, and the exiles were recalled. Thus it was that our Lord said immediately to the repentant thief, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." Luke 23:43. Such a thing was never before said to any man, not to Adam, nor to Abraham, nor even to David. But this day, the day on which the gate is opened, the thief does but ask and he finds, having confidence in the entering into the holies by the blood of Christ, Hebrews 10:19. I love that imagery of the king calling back the exiles who have been banished. What a glorious gift our Lord has given us through his passion, his death, and resurrection. The gates of heaven opened wide to us if we would only respond to his grace and repent and believe in the gospel. Let us conclude, friends, by once again mentioning Helping Autism Through Learning and Outreach, available on the web at halo-soma.org. That's halo-soma.org. Please tune into episodes 277 and 548 as well. For more information pertaining to RPM, that is an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. Before my niece was about 8 years old, we didn't even know her favorite color. Now, thanks to God's grace, her hard work, the hard work of her family, we know she's a comprehensive genius who composes poetry, music. She's very skilled in regards to mathematics. She even knows foreign languages. RPM has been as big of a breakthrough for non-speakers as sign language was for the deaf or Braille was in terms of being able to read for the blind. But you can't use a tool unless you know about it. That's where you come in. Please spread that website, those episodes of our ladies' podcast, far and wide. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. Please say an Ave Maria for yours truly, and I will talk to you again very soon. Goodbye, and God love you.